Now, before you think, well, maybe Crawford was a radical and the only one looking at the Gutzlaff incident that way, J. Hudson Taylor wrote from England and has said in his biography that he viewed Gutzlaff as the father of the China Inland Mission. So he was at least as radical as J. Hudson Taylor. We will move on because time is getting away. We want to just briefly address the idea of paradigm theory. What I have done in this paper is to pit or to contrast what Bosch itemizes as the salient ingredients to the Enlightenment model of doing missions, which basically meant that we needed to shift toward three key values. One is the value of indigeneity, which orbs around the gospel mission conviction that native churches can and should assume full responsibility for the work from day one. There was an idea afoot in his day that we needed instead a paternalistic stage first so that they could grow up enough to become mature Christians and grow up enough to assume responsibility for their work. I will point you to an excellent dissertation that was done at the University of Pennsylvania by Tian Chao, which he's also known as Jonathan Chao, who is a Chinese scholar. And Jonathan Chao concludes that that paternalistic, gradual autonomy model actually retarded the work, and that people like Crawford and others were advocating an immediate ownership and an immediate empowering of the nationals from day one, and that had that method been employed 50 years earlier, it's very possible, he says, possibly, Christianity would have become so rampant in China. And he documents that because of the rapid growth from the Boxer Rebellion to 1913, when most of the missionaries were gone, that it could have possibly forestalled the Communist Revolution in China. All right, indigeneity was one of the core values. The other core value, as Crawford has pointed out, is the idea of incarnation. He attributes to Herring, this value most pronounced comes into the gospel mission movement through Herring and through his interaction and contact with the China Inland Mission. Then also the idea of responsible independence or responsible interdependence. Isn't it interesting that today the Foreign Mission Board is saying to us, we don't want to be an abstract bureaucracy up here. We want the local churches to see their role in mission, and we want to simply be facilitating partners with you. I tell you, Jerry Rankin and Avery Willis would make good Crawfordites because they're advocating, in essence, the very same principles that Crawford was advocating 100 years ago. Let me just read three quotes to you, one from Crawford, one from Herring, and one from Bostick. Three main thinkers in the gospel mission movement. Crawford, I am not seeking to bring about a revolution, but a reformation in mission relations and work. I wish the board to retain their position in the denomination and to reform abuses of their own accord. A revolution in the sense of a revisionist, not a breakaway from the board, towards simplicity or local action and responsibility in mission matters. That sounds like Rankin himself wrote it. It is, he says, it is imperatively demanded. Then let boards and pastors and editors and everyone encourage them singly or in groups, smaller or larger, according to their circumstances, to choose, support, and look after the work of their missionary evangelists. The churches and missionaries taking up the work in this way will feel a living interest in the mission work itself and in working with each other. Herring, we do not believe in the unbaptistic system which works down upon the churches, but in the system that is worked in and by and through them. What are these men talking about? Partnership is a common word we're using today, where the board must redefine itself, not as the controlling authority enterprise, but as the facilitating partner in working in and through the churches of the Southern Baptist Convention. Listen to Bostick, who is also a North Carolinian. Hence, No other church or other body, however large or influential, can ever, except by usurpation, control the means, the actions, means, and men of our churches. As equal and independent bodies, they can and must be true to Christ, seek the fullest love and fellowship in cooperating with each other in the Lord's work. Well, in conclusion, indeed, the Southern Baptists, and there's much that I'm skipping here, but I also want to try to not make you feel as though it was any more boring than it need to be by holding you too long. Indeed, Southern Baptists have been this way before. Over a century ago, maverick innovators attempted to turn the board's attention away from stagnant, non-indigenous mission methods. The gospel missionaries were ahead of their day. By the way, there's a recent study that has been done by two secular historians. One is a chairman of the history department at the University of Guam, and the other one is at Auburn University, and the University of Alabama Press has published it, and it's a study of Alabaman missionaries in the Middle Kingdom, 1850 to 1950, and Mrs. Crawford and T.P. Crawford are highly dealt with in that volume, and I have a quote in here. We won't take time to read it, but they basically say that T.P. Crawford's ideas were a century ahead of their time. The gospel missionaries were indeed ahead of their day, even though they likely were not aware of that fact. They simply had a conviction that doing mission in a different way might be healthier for the work and more biblical in practice. In the decades following the gospel mission's demise, many of its missionaries returned to the board and lived out their careers, still applying their convictions from within the board's structure. They continued to serve at their post and mentored several new missionaries, only to influence yet another generation of workers, one of whom was James Carpenter. Some of you know James in Lausanne. James Carpenter's grandfather, I've got a copy of his memoirs, and who was he assigned to be oriented as he arrived in China but D.W. Haring, and that continued, and James says maybe that's why his grandfather didn't get along with the board either at that particular time. They continued to basically influence yet another generation of workers. Their ideals lived on, albeit submerged, until the broader evangelical world began to echo the same values through the writings of people like McGavran and others, making such ideas much more palatable. During the 1980s, ideals very similar to those that were espoused by Crawford, Haring, Bostick, and others were institutionalized as the board's trustees formed an administrative structure known as Cooperative Services International, CSI. CSI leadership, especially under the guidance and the direction of Mike Stroup, initiated one of the most creative approaches to doing mission in the last half of this century. Yet, as with the innovations of a century ago, change challenges the status quo. On July the 1st, 1997, CSI ceased to exist. Was this an attempt to capture CSI's momentum in order to posture the entire board to face a new century and even the challenge of a new millennium? Has the paradigm really shifted? Or could it rather have been a disguised attempt to use Crawford's word, freeze out, unquote, forward-thinking idealists yet once again? Only time will tell us. One thing is certain. The aim of stimulating healthy indigenous church planting movements using these value systems that we've just described among the world's unreached peoples will not be left waiting. The advance to the edge where the unreached peoples dwell will proceed with or without the Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board, because the seed of CSI-type vision has been planted in the heart and the soul of thousands of Southern Baptists and hundreds of Southern Baptist churches. Unknowingly, but nonetheless accurately, over 10 decades ago, Crawford issued a clarion call which might well describe our current situation when he titled his most provocative publication. Indeed, the call still reverberates in our ears today and is perhaps even more relevant than ever before. Churches to the front. As local Southern Baptist churches awaken to the needs of the unreached, they are increasingly taking on the rightful responsibility of completing the Great Commission. Let me close by reading to you a passage that Dr. Stroup opened with in his area director's report before the board in October of 1995. This was the vision of CSI. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glories among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. So as we opened with the hymn, simply put, shine, Jesus, shine.
Thank you, Dr. Idle, for that very helpful lecture today and understanding where we are in our missions movement today. And I do want to say that April 23rd, Dr. Jerry Rankin will be here among us in chapel. He's not on our chapel calendar, but we have squeezed him in April 23rd so that he can be among our students this semester. And so I hope that you will not miss Dr. Rankin among us and hear that missions challenge on that day. Tomorrow, Johnny Hunt will be here, and to pick up on what Dr. Idle said about reading the manuscript, we've asked Pastor Johnny to not read his manuscript tomorrow, and we think that probably he'll comply with that request. And then Thursday, Rodney Autry will be here, who pastors Emmanuel Baptist in Manassas, Virginia. So I hope that you won't miss chapel this week. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your presence among us this day, for the fellowship of the saints, for one among us who knows your word so well and who knows the history of spreading your word around the world so well. We thank you, Father, that you're using him in a great way, both in the scholarly world and with our Foreign Mission Board to influence them and among our students in these days. And Father, I pray that most of all we might be sensitive to the voice of your Holy Spirit about where in this world you would have us to be to proclaim thy truth. And Father, we pray that you might strengthen us for the challenges of this day, that we might in turn strengthen thy church. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.